This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
From what dear you may find out, certain people not like me. Everyone because I got thing now. Makes true me, I do it like Nike. But me not fear no guy now. No matter how hard them a spite me, me just a go and do me thing now. Me just a do it like Nike. 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 Them one pies and make sure me thing up.
Talking Heads with Naughty is brought to you by the Bahamas Out Island Promotion Board, Burger King, the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, the Cleveland Clinic, Fine Threads, First Caribbean Bank, Janae's Uniform Center, John's Department Store, Joker's Wild, KFC, NACAC Athletics, Naughty Johnny's, Percy's Island Games, Prince Masters, and Tropical Gyros.
From what day you may find out, certain people don't like me. Everyone talk a spagat thing now. Makes true me, I do it.
You got it locked and loaded to the Wednesday, June 12th edition of Talking Heads. Your boy Naughty, along with Mary Jane and your company. MJ's in the building today. And Mr. Producer, come on now, man. You know.
Good afternoon.
I know you don't poop for the Dolphins, but your football
season. You see that, right?
Oh, get it together. Oh, get it together. And we have a special guest today, Senator Michael Barnett Ellis will be joining us on the flip side of the break. But it is Wednesday. Got lots to talk about. Good to see you, MJ, in studio.
Yeah, it's good to be in studio today.
Today, yeah, man. So, you know how to chime in. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. In New Providence, toll-free. In any one of the Family Islands, 242-300-5720. 242-300-5720. Text lines powered by BTC, 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. Stream us live. Take us wherever you want to go. GuardianTalkRadio.com. That's GuardianTalkRadio.com. Cable channel 969. BTC flow channel 612. That's how you get it in. That's how you get it on for fresh news, smart talk all day. Right here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Quick break. Flip side of the break. We'll be back at you. We'll be talking, having a great conversation with our special guest, Senator Michael Barnett Ellis. On the flip side of the break, as the Wednesday, June 12th edition of Talking Heads continues right after this.
We all know that our country's electricity infrastructure is decades old. It is breaking down, it is too expensive, and it cannot transmit clean energy. Small changes aren't enough. We are taking it all on. Upgrading and modernizing the grid. Solar power. Major energy reform. That's how we get to lower prices and more reliable electricity. It will not happen overnight, but it will be game-changing.
Go to newenergyera.gov.bs to learn more.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it. Just give us a call.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building. Telephone 302-2361.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast, providing more of what you need. More locations means more care closer to home. More specialists means more expertise. More research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
Is it a burger?
No. Is it pizza?
Come on, man, it's KFC. Whatever the crunch this is, it's delicious. New, the Kentucky Cheetah Sandwich. Crispy chicken topped with marinara sauce, mozzarella, and pepperoni. Order your Cheetah Sandwich now at KFCNassau.com or at your favorite KFC restaurant today. It's new and it's radical. KFC, it's finger-licking good.
With fine style, with elegant taste, then fine threads is your place. If you want those slacks hemmed or just taking the waist, then fine threads is your place. If you wanna look suave and debonair everywhere you go, like you're supposed to be in a video. Wanna step out and look great? Then fine threads is your place. With fine style, with elegant taste, then fine threads is your place. Is your place. Is your place.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
We're back at you on the Wednesday, June 12th edition of Talking Heads. And MJ, we have our special guest with us today, Senator Michael Barnett Ellis. Glad
yes,
to see you.
Do.
Welcome back.
Thank you for having me back. And I'm glad MJ's here too.
There you go.
I am happy
Girl
to be
power.
Here. I am happy to be here.
And we're glad to have you and have a conversation because there's lots to talk about since the last time you were on the show.
Oh, yes.
You know, what's first things first, right out of the gate, what's your sentiment post-convention? Of the FNM now that you've had your convention and seems like everybody's moving in the same direction.
That's exactly it. We're all moving in the same direction. Everybody is fired up. We have the momentum. And now, you know, to go from convention into budget was amazing. The members of parliament all have done a great job and they're almost done. And then it will come to the Senate. But everybody is very motivated and excited. Which is a great feeling. The atmosphere that Saturday evening was just electric. We were ready to go to the polls the following day. We were,
right.
You know.
Some people compared it to a feel of 92. Would you say that was it was comparable? Because I know you've been part of a party and your family's been part of the party for decades.
You know what? I described it as feeling like a family reunion because people who you haven't seen in ages
right.
came, but the energy was 92 energy. Being on the cusp of something about to happen, that unstoppable change, that this is going to be different and I'm going to be a part of it, energy was great. But it was also, you know, seeing those old familiar faces and some new ones and next generation. It was like a great family reunion.
And the event itself, you would say it went off pretty well, right? I saw videos of you. I was like, she's been working hard, you know?
It was a great day. When you think about, this is the third convention I've done with the FNM. And when you walked into, particularly the Saturday evening session,
right?
The chairs were covered, they were draped, there were pom-poms, there were signs, the names of the constituencies were hanging from, like, it was just an atmosphere, like, we're ready to go. The voting earlier that day, it was just, they were there to do business. We were there to do business. We did what we had to do. People
right.
came, people voted. It was cordial.
That's good.
You know, it was the first time some of the delegates were seeing each other because you have, you know, your Long Island delegates and your Mikal delegates.
Right.
So it was a great atmosphere all day. Honestly, it was.
Oh, that's pretty good because, you know, before there was some talk that maybe there may be some controversy, but looking at it, like mm-hmm. I said, I saw the stuff online with you reading the results. It looked like it went off without a hitch.
Without a hitch,
you know,
it was great.
Yeah.
It was great.
And you feel that camaraderie after.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Because the question was whether or not the party would be able to unify.
I got Texas chiming in right now saying, asked the same question about the unity
portion. What are your thoughts?
You know what? I think that even that day, we were beginning to see people who were standing off coming together. And we all celebrated the victory. We all celebrated coming to convention and having a convention. You know, we're a family. Right. And, you know, families, sometimes we tussle and then we go cut birthday cake, right? And that's exactly what has happened. People have come back into it. Okay, we had that disagreement. We've gotten over it. This is the way forward. The party has spoken. And, you know, you will see it. You will see it in the torchbearer meetings, in the Women's Association meetings. They had their first meeting last week since convention. And the room was packed. People are, you know, they are engaged and they're ready to get going.
I got a text asking this question here. Nwadi, do you think that the former leader will get on board?
I think so. I think so.
Documents, obviously, I think you're referring to.
I think so. He is a man who loves the party, loves the FNM. And at the end of the day, we are all united when it comes to defeating the PLP. And I think, you know, if you watched his budget contribution yesterday, he was definitely holding their feet to the fire and getting the job done.
Right, right. Yeah, that was quite a presentation last night by the former prime minister. And speaking of the budget debate, it's happening right now in the House as we speak. Like you said, Senator, soon it'll be with you guys.
Should be next week.
Yeah. Right. So just give us your thoughts so far, because we've initially, it looked when the prime minister gave his communication, he did get a little bit of positive feedback. But now that we're going into the details
the devil is in the details.
And there's the feedback has not been as positive, has not been as good. What are your thoughts so far and what you've heard from the prime minister and the other members of parliament?
So one of the things, you know, this is my third budget. Whenever they present it, you're like, okay, yeah, this sounds really interesting. And then you start to really listen and then you start to take apart what has been said.
Right.
And you realize that sometimes they said a lot of nothing. Yes, it was a nothing burger. Or sometimes it just didn't mesh with reality in terms of when we look at government revenue and we look at the VAT receipts and then what they say they're going to bring in. For example, I remember last year when they forecasted their revenue for this year, they had it increasing. But I said, but you didn't make the mark last year. So if you didn't make the mark last year,
right,
what do you think is going to happen that your VAT revenue is going to increase, you know, is going to increase this year? You know, the PLP does spin very well. They do public relations very well. And so one of the things that, you know, I always say to people is, okay, yes, the razzle dazzle, but then look at it and take it apart.
Right.
And what is really happening and what is really, you know, what is really the benefit? I'm currently preparing my budget contribution and I'm still trying to figure out, well, what is our VAT money going towards? Because we are borrowing a lot of money.
A lot.
And a lot of bills aren't getting paid. So where is the money actually going?
Which is quite ironic when it was implemented. The initial use for VAT was supposed to be to bring down our debt, and that's not happening. We're still borrowing at record rates.
Yes.
And so, you know, it does raise a lot of questions, you know?
It you know, as a Bahamian, as somebody who pays VAT, and, you know, now I pay attention to what the cost is at the register, and then when they press that next button and the VAT comes up with it,
Right.
I take a breath. Right. I feel it at the cash register like everybody else. And so I find now I'm particularly curious about where our VAT money is going.
Right.
Because, you know, it hurts a little every time, you know, we have to pay it, particularly when you're paying it on school fees and uniform and
medicine.
And you're like, but this is essential, you know, this is essential to me. And sometimes the costs of goods, you know, inflation is still alive and well. And you're like, okay, VAT on top of the fact that this is now, you know, so much more expensive than it used to be, it doesn't make sense to me.
Is there more that this administration could be doing to tackle the cost of living crisis that we're dealing with right now?
I think so. I mean, I think that inflation is something that's dictated by external forces, but one of the easier ways to deal with it is, for example, take VAT off of those breadbasket items, take VAT off of education, take VAT off of medicine, because those are things that we all need, are essential to our lives. And you don't want somebody to not be buying Tylenol.
Right.
Because there's 10%, you know, there's 10% on top of it because the cost of Tylenol has gone up. In fact, there are times when you go to the pharmacy and there is no Tylenol just because of, you know, the supply demand issues that come with it that have caused inflation. And so I think, you know, one of the things they can do is take the VAT off those items that are essential to our lives.
Right.
Well, I kind of asked the question that was coming off the text lines. What does the FNM plan to do for VAT relief if they become the next administration? Well, obviously you spoke to some of that right there, but I think that's a big concern of a lot of Bahamians. And what's the deal with VAT? You know, it's looming.
And
every time we look up, they move it from one set of items to another set of items to another set of items, and then Where's the relief?
But it's also the increased fees on other government services. And I think, you know, we all understand intellectually that in order for a government to run, it needs revenue. The
Absolutely.
Teachers need to get paid, the nurses
Correct.
Need to get paid, right? But when you look at where the money is being spent, and you see this lavish party and the next lavish party, and then they're taking the photo coming off the private jet.
And 72,000 consultants.
And only 72,000 consultants.
Well, I stopped counting. That's when I got tired.
But now, okay, now you're adding insult to injury because I'm spending my hard-earned VAT dollars and I would much rather spend, you know, pay that, and I see the teachers get an increment or the police officers get their gratuity.
Correct.
Or nurses get an increase. But when you look at the unions, they're talking about they haven't gotten their increments. These things haven't gone as planned. So what exactly are you using the money for? I mean, I like the 50th gold buttons, gold pin things.
Right.
But I mean, I think that money could have gone someplace else.
And I think that's the thing that a lot of Bahamians, particularly with this budget that we're paying close attention to, recently they announced that they may even be purchasing the bazaar in Freeport.
The International Bazaar,
The
yes.
International Bazaar.
And we had our guest yesterday, Sarah Kirkby and Darren Cooper, and both spoke to the fact that it's not really feasible. It doesn't really make sense.
Are those the kinds of ideas that you have you scratching your head, like, why is this being prioritized over maybe some more important things? I would think the airport in Freeport would be more of a priority.
Correct.
The part that makes me scratch my head is the fact that they make these decisions without consulting with people who have intimate knowledge of these matters. For example, when they talked to the unions after the Minister for Public Service talked about changing it to a biweekly salary, right?
Right.
The union said, well, nobody talked to us. Well, how do you make decisions like this without talking to the stakeholders? Because now, okay, are you wasting my money? What's really going on? If you're going to spend my money, let's make informed decisions and make it make sense, right? Don't
right.
spend my money and now you've wasted it. And oops, that my bad. No, that's, you know.
No, I
think we've seen.
I get it, and I think that Bahamians are taking more ownership of the money.
Yes.
Like this is our money now,
yes.
Because before it was an idea of the government spending. It's not their money;
no,
it's our money, and it is important for them to consult. Another area that I feel lacked the proper consultation. We're just getting drips and drips of whatever's going to happen there is the whole energy sector, what's happening with BPL. The transparency, there is no transparency there.
You see the cover of the paper today. You see the front page story.
I see it. I know that the minister is probably speaking as we're speaking because she was delivering remarks when we left to come here. But what is going on with BPL? And how can we get...
Wait a minute. I won't read this because this was funny from earlier.
More information. Go ahead.
Naughty, I need you to ask this question. This isn't sports math. So I need you to let MJ and the good senator handle this for me, please. How could you give up 100% for 40%? Please tell me what kind of math is that. And I don't want ever hear nothing but 51-49 again after this doozy.
You know what? If you don't laugh, you'll cry.
No, but how does that make any kind of mathematical sense? That's voodoo math. That's boo-boo math.
And the thing is, and they think that they can get away with it. That's the scary part.
Right.
How long have we been asked on the BPL deal? We knew something was going
on. It's coming out drip, drip, very, very slowly, you know?
I said yesterday, if you were doing something properly and honestly... It should be transparent.
Right.
You should have no issues sharing information because everything you're doing is above board. And the fact that this is drip, 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 and evading answers, I'll tell you after the convention.
Right.
It doesn't smell right.
And again, it ties back to lack of a Freedom of Information Act. That doesn't,
yes.
that you know, throws, you know, a monkey wrench into things. And then you have Bahamians asking questions like this based off of BPL. Naughty, good afternoon to your guests. Great show as usual. Since BPL is merging with a new company, will the company continue guesstimating our bill? Or will they continue with the game over and under where you pay $500 this month over and $500 next month under? Where are we going to be?
you know what their guess is. My question is it going to, is the power supply going to be consistent? Because,
right.
you know, just yesterday I realized that one of my devices is blown from a power surge.
If this go down, they can, load shed has to become a myth, a thing of the past, a old school urban legend. It cannot be existent if this merger goes down for all 40%.
And how...
I just can't get over that question.
There are so many questions because I mean that's just one aspect of it. I understand there'll be, you know, maybe two other companies involved, because they were talking about BPL maybe being broken into three companies. So you got what 60% gone with one piece of it, 60% right? is gone. Okay.
And some people have issues if you connect the dots with the parties involved with the deal. They're like, something don't smell right in Denmark.
It's a lack of transparency.
And the thing is, thank you. And if everything you're doing is above board, then tell us. Because leaving it there and leaving it for the public to speculate, and that's, you know, we are now a very cynical public when it comes to governments in general.
Right.
We are going to think the worst. So if you're doing something above board, come out and tell us what it is. Tell us why you didn't put it out to bid.
And here's something that I want to ask. I'm going to say this very delicately because I don't want the PM to get upset with me or tell me he's going to meet me in the parking lot a la Simon
Outside.
Wilson. And we can talk about him in a second. But March 5th, 2024, all right, in The Guardian, Prime Minister was quoted as saying his administration is not privatizing Bahamas Power and Light, but failed to give details of his plans for the future of the beleaguered power company. That's March of this year. What has changed so between now, between March and June?
I think the other question is, so what do you call privatizing?
I think that's the
question. What do you call?
I think that's the question.
Because, you know, because we're going to retain 40%, is it not privatized? Because that's right. not really what that sounds like.
Right.
That sounds like another grand family, friends, lovers, homies, and cronies express deal right there.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because we've seen it before in other times,
private. I think they're going to strain on the word.
So I'm going to say the PM misspoke on that because, you know, I don't need to go in the parking lot.
Yeah, you better said, yeah, misspoke.
But gee whiz, that right there is just, again, all around BPL.
That was one of the things the former Prime Minister, I'm sorry, I'm getting back to your Mr. Wilson question because he's our financial secretary. That was one of the things the former Prime Minister spoke about last night, actually calling
very
for
strongly.
His, you're right, saying that he should have, you know, been made to resign or been fired. Either way, he shouldn't be in that position anymore. What do you think about his performance that day and, you know, just some of the other things we've heard? Because there was some reporting, I think it was, not The Guardian, but The Tribune, and that didn't paint a pretty picture of what, you know, happens in that office at all.
You know, if you were in any other office, in private sector,
right,
and you behaved like that in a meeting,
right,
there would be consequences. Yes, I appreciate being called a liar. It could sting. It could sting, mm-hmm. right? But we are adults and we are grown-ups and we need to respond accordingly. And responding accordingly is not belittling, demeaning, getting off the podium
right.
and saying, let me meet you outside.
Right. And the thing is, like I said, since that incident, there's been some follow-up reporting in the dailies and it gives you a fuller picture. And that picture is not a pretty picture.
And it's not a pretty picture. And it... If it's true, allegedly, then you're showing a pattern of behavior. And it cannot be that that is condoned in the public service.
Right.
Because, you know, I am the grandchild of two public servants.
Well, I get to testify to some of those meltdown moments because we went to school together. I witnessed the meltdown in the early stages in the cafeteria line or when he was ducking during the school run. So I was not put off by it. I was surprised by the bravado of meet me outside. I wouldn't know where that came from because I was never existing or anything. But that there, I was like, hey,
it's a boy, lot.
You got to be now because I never expected that.
But the other part that concerned me about the video is that the tirade from the podium went on too long.
Mm-hmm.
And
Absolutely.
Nobody in that room sought to intervene and say, hello.
Yeah. We spoke about this. I've been on for
I appreciate
4 minutes.
Mr. Hakia's intervening, but he could have intervened a little sooner if he saw where it was going.
And there were other people in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, Fromm talked about we have a history and I fight. No.
But why is
that
it?
That was supposed to shut down.
And here's a question for it moving forward. I think any administration moving forward taking office needs to give the press a hug. You all need to have a come to Jesus moment, give each other a little hug,
yes,
little kumbaya moment. Let's have a cocktail. Let's have some hors d'oeuvres. Let's have a moment. Let's just have a breathe.
But you know what? I think for me, it goes back to transparency and accountability. When you appear as if you are defensive. When it appears that you are defensive, mm-hmm. I thought he was going to throw it.
No.
When it appears that you are defensive,
right.
As a journalist or as a normal person, I think you have something to hide.
I'm going to poke.
But yes, if you are transparent and you say this is what is happening and you provide the information because everything you're doing is above board, I think that the friction between the government and the media, journalists will change because they react like that. It's been my impression and my observation that they react like that when you're cute with them and you're not upfront. Whereas if you are upfront with what is going on, you don't have that response.
That's been one of the difficulties, I think, of this administration. I think it's fair to say that, you know, they're just not as transparent as they can be. And for some reason, that to me, it seems like they're always on the defensive when asked questions.
But sometimes you
got to
be cool under pressure. Like if I was in his position and they said I lied, I was like, no, you didn't listen honestly. Okay, next question. And keep it moving.
I wanted to say, you know, you said that's one of the problems with not having a Freedom of Information Act. But the reality is we shouldn't need a Freedom of Information Act to reveal that information, to be forthright with information. Yes, maybe we need the act so you could request it. But right. As a government, we should be giving that information to the public. We work for them. They work for us.
Well, at least you got that memo. Now can we get the rest to get the memo? They conveniently forget who they work for. Let's go to the phone lines. Talking Heads.
Hey, good afternoon, Naughty.
Afternoon, how are you?
Good afternoon to your guest.
Good afternoon.
On the topic of Mr. Wilson, which you guys said earlier, so you wonder why and what intervened earlier. If you listen carefully, just before he walked out, the persons who were there with him, his colleagues, were saying that Mr. Deary, the reporter, needs to apologize to him. They didn't intervene because they felt like he said nothing or did nothing wrong.
That's even more. I mean, that's even
listen
more of a problem. I do think that they were saying, "Oh, you need to retrieve that statement." They meant to say that they wanted him, the reporter, to retract a question. I mean, yes. Now that you mention that, you're correct, and that's even more of a problem.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, thank you for taking us back down this road because the initial response from the office of the prime minister
yes.
was that the reporter had done something wrong.
Yes.
You see?
Exactly.
So, yeah, no, you're absolutely correct.
Thank you for reminding us about that call.
And you know, I have the clip if you ever want to.
Thank you for reminding us.
Thanks again. All right.
So, I mean, from the top down
then there's a mentality.
Right.
There's a mentality. And I don't know if it's audacity or obnoxiousness, but there's no need to bully. This is, you know, because then maybe it is them being on the defensive, as you said.
I feel that they often are like with questions, and which is kind of surprising because they have a pretty sophisticated communications department.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
So pretty expensive one, I'm assuming, as well. So we're paying for something. We want more communication is the point of it.
And communication is not just spin. Communication is provide information in terms of what is
and
going
in a timely,
on.
In a timely manner. Because, like I said, a lot of this stuff is drip, 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 and it does us no good. How do you see a future FNM administration being different in this regard?
I think that we have seen and experienced the same frustrations that the public is seeing. And I think, you know, for us to be different when we get into government, we have to remember those frustrations and figure out how we can alleviate them.
You know, that's what the public often says. It's just that, oh, y'all get in and y'all forget everything and y'all promise and don't do that.
I trust me, I say this about doctors. That they all need to be patient so that they can know what the experience is like. But I think, you know, that will be the key to us being successful and meeting our obligations and being the government that the people of the Bahamas want us to be. We have to not get there and forget what it was like when we were trying to get information and we were trying to get assistance and we were trying to offer ideas, because that's the other thing. We have tried to offer ideas to the government and they have just, you know, not been interested. And they're like, no, we won. You know, we don't want to hear what you have to say. You
how
lost.
Sophomoric.
Really?
Extremely.
My
like
God.
You're dealing
and
with
this is a country we're dealing with. Not even a corporation or a business, which is bad enough. But
this is a country.
Question for you off the text lines. Good afternoon, audience, your guest. Please, quick question. Something that never sat right with me is the government entering these shadowy deals with energy companies up until now, unknown, when FPL, Florida Power and Light, which generates and distributes 75% renewable energy, is but a cousin, a mere 60 nautical miles away. I've always wondered that. Why didn't we cut a deal with Florida Power and Light? Because they run Dade County, which is bigger than the Bahamas and which is bigger than NASA itself.
Because our friends,
as well as Broward, I mean, come on.
Florida Power.
Well, yeah. I'm glad you said it, because I did. They was gonna come after me again. I'm picking on them. But yeah, I'm just saying, it's just crazy. Bunker C will never done in this country. We will never stop using Bunker C. And then we go to LNG, connect the dots, and then we go to solar, connect the dots, and I think some people find it obscene that the same old can have like a monopoly on these entities for years and turn it into generational wealth. It's crazy.
Absolutely crazy. And the thing is, the more people that we leave behind because we keep generational wealth in a small cluster, the harder it is for the Bahamas to, you know,
right,
move forward, upward, onward.
Right. And I think that's something that Bahamians are now focused on. Looking at it, you know, from the perspective of a possible F&M administration, what things would you guys do differently in terms of, you know, not having the wealth confined to just one particular group or sect? How do you spread the wealth?
So I think that is one of the benefits of a proper procurement process, right? That all companies with the relevant expertise are able to bid and be considered fairly, and it be a transparent process. We should not give a contract to one person because we've always been giving that to the company. You know, we're encouraging Bahamians. We have the Small Business Development Center. We're encouraging young Bahamians to get into business. Well, if we're encouraging them to get into business, let's also give them some business.
Right.
I believe that the private sector is extremely important,
yes,
right? I realistically, the government cannot hire everybody. Even though the PLP is trying, the government cannot hire everybody, right? So, like I said, we're encouraging our young people to go into business, to be innovators.
We want to see innovators, entrepreneurs.
Facebook and Instagram and TikTok. Like, our people are so
talented,
creative,
right?
And talented. And, you know, they have a work ethic. And some of the young startups that I'm seeing, the small startups I'm seeing, you know, they have an attention to detail that the big guys who've been around for 50-odd years,
right,
have long since lost, right? But let's give them opportunities. They should not have to join a political party or be active in a political party in order to get business from the government of the Bahamas. That just doesn't make sense. We, the Bahamas, would never succeed like that.
No, you're absolutely right.
Let's get to the phone lines real quick. Talking Heads.
Good afternoon, Mr. Noddy, and to your guests.
Afternoon. How are you, Chief?
Good afternoon.
I have one question. Prior to the last election, Mr. Diaglo spoke about the overhead flights that we will be collecting monies from for our airport. Could you please tell me, is that still intact, and how much we have collected to date, and the money we got, will it be used for the development of our airports? Thank you.
All right. That's a good question. I remember in a capacity in aviation, Ms. Hannah Martin said that it started to come in. Now, I don't know how we collected it. I don't know where it ended up. I don't know how much it was, but
that would be an ongoing thing. I don't think.
But I remember initially years ago, when we were on another station, when it first came out, it was a tune of something like 54 million potentially that was flying over our head every day, because of the airspace. And I think that if you're going to let Uncle Sam manage it, then we need to get a cut out of what it is. Because I would lean to Uncle Sam managing it. I'm taking nothing away from my Bahamian brethren
until
and sister.
Until we are prepared and trained, we can do it. Rescue part of it was the,
correct.
Bit of the hindrance.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Talking heads.
Good afternoon, Nordhead doing?
Hey, what's going on, JJ?
I'm fine. You know, with that airspace being a glider sign of Martin, in the air for that. You're getting some dividends on that now. But it's just for space there's more, you know what I mean? It's only a couple million, you know, 2 billion a year.
Right.
And I'm sorry, who these ladies is on the talk show? Because I don't see all my fans and JJ, you look at you some call and talk shows and everything.
Yeah, but we got, man, you know, you ain't no stranger to Mary Jane, you know MJ. And we have Senator Michael Barnett Ellis on today.
Hey, young lady, how you doing?
Good. Very well. Thank you.
My poison friend, he's a real man. He ain't like somebody started talking to things and everything, man. You know what I mean?
So I try to keep it real there, JJ. So you have a question for me yesterday? You got something for us?
A question for Senator.
Yes, I got one or two questions. You see, I got 8 and 9 for my two oldest grandchildren to vote. Okay? And when I tell them two things, they can do what they think. So I want to tell all my fans and all my fans, register, get an ID, but they ain't get a vote either, you know. You can stay home too. See, people understand, this in the days of the dumb payments, you know.
Agreed.
Payments, man. Smartphones, savvy, be educated.
Agreed.
I spotted half of the members of parliament, half of them members in jail, day in, they're getting salaries, and the law said $20,000 in 2 years of voting jail. You playing in this country. You know I
see on the ground. I know you're on the ground, JJ, and you got fired up too.
The Wi-Fi is still working on the park. No park.
I know. I was out on the weekend and I experienced it myself.
Man, it's wrong. But if you get the Wi-Fi to the foreigners and can't give the own people.
Ah, they'd love to give plenty to the foreigners and don't give us. You know that.
You can get anything. Right? And I don't go downtown, no, because I don't want to be up this fool with me. And 80% of my brothers and sisters are next police and defend for the officer. I don't people fool me, you know. It's our country. We can't go to the casino and gamble. I get discriminated. I mean, no, if he's a rich country, no, there's probably a lot of the world worse than this country, no.
JJ, you preaching to the choir. You know,
that's
me
right.
And you're talking on here, off here. I mean, yeah. I agree with you on a lot of stuff what you put out there, man.
You know how I go. I'm a man. Let me show you how serious I is. I run independent and remember why I'm be the young man, you know.
Yeah, sponsored by Bush. Anyway, JJ, good talk, man. I got to get to the text lines. I appreciate the points in the call, bro. Yeah, but JJ, listen, why I like to talk to JJ, you know, you got to talk to, there's two ends of the spectrum in this country that we ignore, the young and the old.
Yes.
And if you really want to know what's going on, talk to the old people, talk to the young people, you will find out what's
exactly
going on.
Exactly what is
all happening. Us in the middle, in the minutia, we lost. We for real. Because we're trying to figure out how 100% to get 40% make any sense. You see? So, I get it, but people have been around, and people are tired.
And
people are fed up.
And the point that JJ, this is not the same electric as 20 years ago.
Right.
We are looking at the budget. We can understand the numbers. We are not just buying anything that you are feeding us because we can see it for ourselves and we can see how it doesn't add up. But unfortunately, our politicians, they have not pivoted to say, hold on now, they understand more. I can't just tell them, you know, because I said so. I need to give an explanation.
Yeah.
All right, we got two calls. We'll get to them in a second, but I got some text. Norty, good afternoon to you and your guests. The electricity power generation is a major issue in the Bahamas. Being that Florida Power and Light in the past was doing partnership with Grand Bahama Power Company, hence it fell through. Why? Selfishness and greed from the locals. Now we need solar energy for a long time. Why? Please ask these questions in relation to the power. Mayor of Grand Bahama. Mayor, I got you. I can get the question out for you, brother.
I mean, we need to think bigger. Unfortunately, we're still thinking very small, right? And if we want to transition from being a developing nation to a nation that is on the cusp of being modern and transparent. That's all part of the evolution process. You know, I'm sorry that it didn't work out in Grand Bahama, but I you know, maybe we should try it again because we need to solve the issue. If you look at the press statement from the Chamber of Commerce earlier today, one of the things they talk about is energy is a major issue for businesses. And until we get that straight, doing business in the Bahamas is going to be difficult, whether it is the cost of electricity or losing goods.
A report from the Chamber
goods.
Of Commerce today from yeah. business owners that yes. were irate and exactly. not issues with it. All right, I got one for you off the text line, Senator. Here we go. And we get to the calls in a second. Callers, I see we're coming right now. Naughty, good afternoon to you and your guest. Your guest, Ms. Barnett Ellis, is a part of a party that promised to introduce an ombudsman that would hold politicians and senators accountable. Why hasn't the F&M implemented that as yet? And every F&M politician and senator can't seem to commit that they would implement an ombudsman or the ability to recall politicians or senators.
Well, the PLP has tabled a ombudsman bill, and we've been, you know, that's enacted. They're the ones in the chair now. They have tabled it. They obviously agree with it. Let's get it done because we need it. Now, I will say that, you know, there are some issues with the draft because they give the ombudsman no teeth to do anything. Mm. They can investigate, but they can't compel an entity to correct, which is a power that exists for other countries.
Right.
But let's get this ombudsman going. We want that power. We all agree. It went unanimously.
All right, here's another one. Good afternoon, Naughty MJ and Senator Barnett. Very good show. I think Simon Wilson had enough time to compose himself, and it was very unprofessional of him. At the end, Ms. Adderley put the whole thing on the reporter. She should have said nothing. This is typical of the PLP. They are always above broad. The other day, Sports Minister Boleg was challenging the Auditor General. Please tell me what we are paying Rodney Monka for.
That is a good question.
Speaking of the Auditor General, that was one of the things that Mr. Pintard mentioned in his speech at the convention, and talking about that office being more independent.
Yes.
Just expound on that a little bit so we have an idea about what
so
he's...
So the role of the Auditor General
right.
is essentially an auditor for the government. So they go over, for example, Bahamas Games, hopefully the independence celebrations, the CRIFTA, to assess, you know, whether we followed or the government followed the policies and procedures in place with
right.
regard to hosting that event, with regard to procurement, with regard to money spent, right? An auditor, in its very nature, needs to be independent because they need to be able to say, you did something wrong and
right.
you need to fix this so that you can fix it going forward. But I think you see the reaction to the Auditor General's report for Bahamas Games as well as CRIFTA was, you know, they basically called for his head on a platter, which is incredibly inappropriate, right? Because he, like the Public Accounts Committee, ought to be able to investigate what is going on with the government and how they are spending our money, not their money, our hard-earned VAT dollars. So I think it's very important for the Auditor General to come under Parliament in terms of be a division of that and to give them the independence that you need. Because you know what? We all need that person in our life that gives us the hard truth and can call us out on our BS.
And that the Auditor General has been doing that. Of course,
yes.
Different administrations. So.
And now I see that he's resigning.
He's resigning.
He's retiring.
Retiring.
If I was close to it, you know, I would realize, why am I putting up with this BS, this foolishness, and I trying to do something good for the country? I have no problem with that gentleman. He's done a great job. Let's go to the phone lines.
Amazing job.
Talking Heads. Talking Heads.
Am I on live?
Yes. And who's this?
Hey, Naughty, this is Travis Robinson.
Hey,
Travis.
How are you, Travis?
Robinson.
What's happening?
How are you?
I'm doing well. I saw the fly and I had to call in and listen in to the great Senator Ellis give a contribution. I think she's been answering these questions superbly thus far. So I wanted to just call in and congratulate her
representing...
not just my party, but women across this country very well.
Oh, thank you.
Absolutely.
And I just had one question for her, if I may. Speaking of women in the country, I don't know if you guys discussed it as yet, but I'm interested to hear and for the nation to hear what is Senator views on women in politics and what can the country do more to encourage
you dropped my question. You dropped my question, Travis.
Thank you very much. I was not. You snatched that question real quick.
You dropped my question, but go ahead. I couldn't have asked it any better.
No problem, Travis. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
Let me get this other call in real quick. If you don't mind, we'll go over right after the news and you can answer that question and a couple of more because we got a lot of texts coming for you. And obviously, you know, they're having a great conversation with the senator, so we want to continue it if we can. All right, let's get this call right before the news. Talking heads. All right.
I think we lost that. You can call us back after the news.
We'll get right to the news real quick. On the flip side of the break, right after the news, I'll deal with the text. I'll deal with the calls. We'll talk for a few minutes into the 5 o'clock hour. Then Pearlie will be in the building, and we'll talk sports, too. And maybe we'll talk some sports with the senator, too, because she's a Dolphin fan.
I am. Greatest football team.
Look. I'm surrounded by it. Let's get to the news.
Living with a neurological condition shouldn't define you. At Cleveland Clinic in Florida, we do whatever it takes to make life better today while discovering new treatments for a brighter tomorrow. From epilepsy management to specialized spine care and brain tumor surgery, we're delivering world-class neurology care for the day-to-day, for the days you live for every care in the world. Visit clevelandclinicflorida.org/Caribbean.
Flavid Island Gas, we making dreams come true. Flavid Island Gas, we paying more out to you. Don't mind the noise in the market, you getting cash in your pocket.
Cause Island Games is spicy, and spicy is tradition.
So when you play
Island Games,
we putting Bahamians first, guaranteed to pay.
Island Games,
we like them other jokers. We've been here from the start, from the bike to computer.
Island Games,
we can make your dreams come true.
We playing with Island Games.
Is it a burger?
No. Is it pizza?
Come on, man, it's KFC. Whatever the crunch this is, it's delicious. New, the Kentucky Cheetah Sandwich. Crispy chicken topped with marinara sauce, mozzarella, and pepperoni. Order your cheetah sandwich now at KFCNassau.com or at your favorite KFC restaurant today. It's new and it's radical. KFC, it's finger-licking good.
John's Shoes and Accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs. You will find what you're looking for among the growing collection of classic and trendy styles with new arrivals every week. John's covers the whole family and has great prices, helpful and friendly customer service. Your experience shopping with us will be time well spent. Shop with us online at www.johnshoes.com. John's also now carries small home appliances. So come on into John's, located on Rosetta Street in Palmdale and Carmichael Road West. John's, we put fashion at your feet.
It's gonna be a hot summer. Get ready for the NACAC Athletics 3rd Annual New Life Invitational as the race to Paris continues. Join us on Sunday, June 16th at the original Thomas A. Robinson National Stadium as Team Bahamas and over 170 international track and field athletes from over 18 countries compete for another chance to qualify for the Paris Olympics. Gates open at 5 p.m. Races start at 6 p.m. Don't miss the exciting individual races and relays from world champions and Olympians. Watch the epic showdowns between countries from around the world, like Jamaica, Trinidad and Tobago, the United States, Canada, Liberia, and our very own Team Bahamas, as they all battle in one of their last chances to qualify for Paris. Buy your tickets today at NACACParis.com or NACACParis.com. That's the New Life Invitational, Sunday, June 16th. It's gonna be hot. You don't want to miss it.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Nassau, Bahamas.
Talking Heads with Naughty is brought to you by the Bahamas Out Island Promotion Board, Burger King, the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, the Cleveland Clinic, Fine Threads, First Caribbean Bank, Janae's Uniform Center, John's Department Store, Joker's Wild, KFC, NACAC Athletics, Naughty Johnny's, Percy's Island Games, Prince Masters, and Tropical Gyros.
All We're back at you on the Wednesday, June 12th edition of Talking Heads. Callers who were on hold right before we took the break, if you want to call back, we'll get to you. We got some text that I get to in a second, but MJ, I know there was a question that Mr. Robinson.
I called in, and it's all about women and politics and your thoughts on that.
You know, obviously, I think that we need more women in politics. Right. We need more women in politics. And one of the questions that I have been asked, and I'm constantly thinking about, how do we get more women in politics? And they're the obvious answers. You know, we need to be more deliberate. We need to make sure that they have the same access funds. We need to make sure that they have this, that, you know, we are deliberate in terms of networking with them. Because, you know, a lot of times these deals happen after the meeting, right?
Right.
And so we need to be more deliberate about that and need to make it more visible and a more hospitable environment. But we also need somebody to stand in the gap, right? So I'm on the show, which means I had to call my mom and say, hey, can you do school pickup at 5:30?
Right.
So in order for women to get into politics, we need to have somebody who's willing to stand in the gap for us. Because at the end of the day, those things still need to, for those of us who are mothers and for those that are wives, those things still need to be done. And to the extent that there are things that we could delegate, obviously there's some things you can't. To the extent that there are things that we can delegate, we need that support system in order for us to get into politics. And so I, you know, want to publicly thank my parents, particularly my mom, for standing in the gap for me so often in terms of babysitting, school pickup, because, you know, the meetings are at 4 and at 5 and at 7. And my sister who, you know, babysits and lets my daughter spend the weekend. You know, we need people to stand in the gap in order for us to do it. Politics is... It can be dirty. It can be cutthroat. It requires hard work. But honestly, it's all the things that women are built for, right? All the things that women are built for. But we don't do it because we need to do school pickup or we need to cook dinner and we need, you know, these other things. We need to take mommy to the doctor. We need to, you know. And so when we have the support system in place, it allows us to get involved in politics. Do those things as well, but also allows us to get involved in politics. And so... You know, to the women under the sound of my voice, young, old, in between, get involved. It's not as, you know, we're built for this. You know, it's not too scary for us. They're not too rough for us. In fact, I'm certain when we get in the room, ours might be bigger than theirs.
I was going to ask if it feels like a boys' club in there. Does it feel
it does
like it?
It does feel like it does.
You dolphin fan, like you can eat chip and dip and drink a cold with the boys. I like that. I like it.
You know, it does become a boys' club. Very, you know, with Maxine and I, we're the only two females in the parliamentary caucus for the FNM, and sometimes it can be a boys' club if only one of us are in the room.
But we can
both hold our own, and you know, they can tell a dirty joke. I know a couple of dirty jokes too. That don't scare me.
If you run out, call me. I got you.
Don't thank you. That's what I'm talking about.
But listen, takes a village. I think moving forward, I think that's going to change, though. I think Pintard at FNM is going to have more women in key positions.
Oh, definitely. Because, you know, A, he is very deliberate about that, right? And also, it is he as a leader is somebody who makes you want to get involved. You want to be a part of that unstoppable change because he has so much energy that it radiates and it's contagious. And, you know... Next thing you know, you find yourself, you know, drafting things at midnight when really your bedtime was 9 o'clock. But you know what is expected and you want to be a part of this movement. And so I think that we are going to have a lot of women come forth to be candidates for the FNM in the next election.
Here's a text of Naughty. Good afternoon. Please ask Senator Barnett Ellis to please have a look at the Aruba power model. I think that will solve all of our energy needs.
Thank you. I will have a look at that and I'll make a note.
Yeah, there you go, text. I said I get it through. There you go. Here's another one. Okay, buckle up for this one. Boy. My text is y'all are trouble, you know. Y'all real, real trouble. MJ, look at that. I let you read that.
Oh, wait.
I'll read it. No.
This listener just wants to know your thoughts on the Speaker of the House. She's a woman, but the president of the Senate is also a woman.
And I, you know, just with relation to this, to the speaker, I think the same thing applies as applies with Simon Wilson, right? It doesn't, the fact that she is a woman doesn't make it any difference. The fact that he is a man doesn't make it any difference. It's about keeping a cool head when things get heated and being able to express yourself without getting tempers flaring and worked up, right? Whether it was a man who reacted like that or a woman who reacted like that, for me, it makes no difference. The reaction was inappropriate. And we need to be able to engage and disagree while keeping a calmer head.
Right.
While keeping a calmer head. And so, you know, that is not a woman's issue or a man's issue. That's a person in authority and how they deal with people who disagree with them.
Well, I appreciate you answering those questions, because I think, you know, a lot of the Texans had the same question coming up. They want to know where women's place is going to be in politics moving forward.
We could be there. Don't worry.
Right.
I mean, our place is there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, that's what I think people want to hear in 2024, that there are going to be more women candidates, more females stepping up and being a part of the process in front and behind the scenes. Because I think, when I say this, y'all don't beat me up, but for a while for this opportunity. I think women in this country, if they're qualified and good enough to do the job, should be given the opportunity to do it. I'm not one of these misogynistic kind of dudes. I'm a fan of, hey, if a woman is the best person to do the job and get the job done, then let's get it done.
That's
if I gotta have heart surgery and the best surgeon in the room is a woman, get all the dudes out. I want a whole female team. Y'all say, yeah, man, save me. Y'all get y'all go.
The key is we want the best people. We want the best people to do the job. And for so long, we've always assumed that it is may the best man win. And now we're at a stage where we realize that the best man could be a woman as well.
Absolutely.
Let's get this call in. Talking heads.
Good afternoon, Mr. Naughty.
Afternoon.
Good afternoon to you and your guest.
Good afternoon.
I recommend that MJ, that's the name.
Hey.
Take it seriously and get into politics.
Look at that. No. Look at God.
Okay.
I see you guys on a flyer now.
Listen, I know this voice, but I'm gonna go there.
Yeah. Thank you.
I recommend highly.
You remember, like, behind this? Yeah, I'll do my part from where I am. But thank you very much.
You sound strong and convincing.
Very strong.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much. You have a great day.
And you can call me with the tree boy tomorrow. Thank you.
And good afternoon to Lady Bonnet.
Good afternoon.
Okay. All right.
No, man, I know that voice.
I know a lot of women listening to you right now are inspired because, you know, you're very strong. I know that one of the things that kind of may put us off, women I'm talking about, is when you perceive that the environment will be hostile or, you know, unwelcoming to women. And politics is a tough game.
I was just saying, it's unwelcoming to women and it's unwelcoming
to men as well.
Right?
It's a tough game.
It's a tough game, but like I said, we're built for it.
Right.
We're built for it.
All right, Tex, I'm going to read this one and then I'm going to slide back. And whatever comes down the pike after this, I read your text. Naughty, good afternoon. Are we really saying that more women need to be in politics just because they are women?
No.
How about we need more? How about we need more qualified persons in politics? Period. Whether you're a man or a woman.
Agreed.
If you can do the job well, you should get the job. But I'm not sure carving out a space for space's sake makes sense just for women because of their agenda. Is it the right way to go? Well, I clearly said when we were speaking. I want the most qualified person to do, and that's a woman.
Correct.
Then so be it. But anyway, ladies, the forum is yours.
Senator.
I think I said earlier, what we want is the best people. The problem is that we have for too long assumed that the best person is a man.
Right.
And now we, in 2024, around the world, not just in the Bahamas, realize that sometimes the best man is a woman. And now we're looking at the best person for the job. Because we see also all around the world examples of women who ought not to be in leadership, right? Who didn't have the right stuff. And so what we are concerned about and what we want is the best person, be they man or woman. We want the best people to lead our beautiful Bahamas.
There you go.
Of course. And there's also the, you know, issue of representation. 50% of the population, there's no reason why we should be 5 or 10% at the most of the legislators. So that is something that I think we need to take into consideration as well, because when you see that, you obviously realize that we're talking about age-old systems that got us to this point. So when we talk about women, it's because women need the encouragement right now. You know, I know that a lot of guys, if they're interested in politics, they probably don't feel they have to jump as high hurdles as women do. And that's why we're putting a little bit of the emphasis there. But we do intend for, you know, it to be a situation where you think about the best person when we talk about, you know, women in politics.
And that's why I talked about needing more people to stand in the gap, because really those are the systems that are, those are the things that keep us out of the meeting. Those are, you know, I spoke International Women's Day, right? And I said, one of the things I dread is the office that has a meeting at 3 o'clock.
Right.
Because most of the women, we on the road doing school pickup.
Absolutely.
If you want us involved in the meeting, we need to have that meeting earlier
and
in the day.
And that's systems. And the change that is to have more seats at the table, to have the voice to say, hey, you know what? We ain't starting this meeting at 3 o'clock. Let's move this to 12 or an earlier time where possible, taking into consideration the kids. That's why we need representation. We need a seat at the table.
And I, you know what? I do that all the time. You know, you get these messages about caucus meeting at 8 a.m. I'm sorry. No. At 8 a.m. I am hopefully in the schoolyard.
Oh,
I am sprinting to the schoolyard.
Right.
Let's get this one last call in, and then we can wrap with Senator Barnett Ellis, because obviously we got to get the sports as well. But thank you again.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate you being here.
It's been a great conversation.
I have to do it again, all right? So if you're available, at least once a month, man, let us know so we can get you on and keep chopping up, because this is a great conversation.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the phone lines. Talking Heads.
Good evening. Just quickly, I think for too long, just replicating to women or any gender needs to stop. I think what's happening in the Bahamas now is a swing of the pendulum in the wrong, over-correcting of the pendulum in the wrong, the other direction. Yes, today men were, the head and all this stuff. But now I think we're swinging the pendulum too far in the other direction, where you have men, boys, young boys and men, getting killed every day, and it's not a big outcry. Once you hear a woman or two women or whatever get killed, you hear a big outcry. So I think, yes, we need to encourage young girls and young and women, but we cannot leave the boys and men behind. And that's what's happening right now in this country, in the Bahamas as it is. Men are not being heard. And that's why a man could be assaulted or whatever by a woman, and it's like, hey, suck it up, you're a man. But that's what I wanted to add.
Thank you, caller. Senator.
You know, the caller has a point, and we talked about systems in place, and that, you know, we need police officers to take it seriously if a man comes and says that he's been assaulted by a woman. That we need to have an equal playing field. And so it all is about breaking down the systems and the stereotypes so that, you know, it becomes if everybody has an equal opportunity, and so that we can really bring the best out of people, be they man or woman.
No, absolutely. And I mean, we have two sons. You know, we want to see a country that's safe for them.
Yes.
One of the things that you have to think about with young men these days is, oh my gosh, are they going to be safe? They can't do this. They can't do that. But I don't trust this, you know,
when I hear scenario stuff like that, right? And I am more for men and boys having the same protection that women have when it comes to being assaulted.
But they do.
It's on the books. If you go and you make a report,
We have to be honest, too, that there are other things happening in the society. And anytime you hear women say, okay, we're going to encourage young women or encourage young girls, that is because traditionally they didn't get that extra push. That's why it's so skewed now, like I say, the representation. It's okay for women to want fair representation. That's fine. If we were talking about race, this wouldn't even be a conversation. People would instinctively see that you would need it to be a little bit more fair.
But
correct?
I look at it as evolution. If society is going to evolve, you're going to have to embrace new ways to evolve.
And if
that's getting women involved who are qualified, then let's do it. I'm sorry, but we've lost a generation or two of young men between the ages of 18 and 30 to the scourge of gun violence and drug violence.
And
we've been crying about
corrected.
That for years.
Yeah.
That still needs to be corrected. So much of this permeating over into young girls and women now. We need to get the best collective body that's going to get this country where it needs to be. And if that means men and women are comprised of it, or a majority women and last man after 50-year good old boys club, then so be it. You can't be afraid of change, new and better. You cannot be. That's how you evolve to become better.
And I think the thing is, we have so many talented behemoths.
Yes.
So that's the pool we want to pull from, the talented, smart behemoths who have great ideas about how we could get our cost of living down, get our bills down in general. Mm. Those are the persons we want. So gender is not, it's not a gender agenda caller. It's just that we want the best people. But traditionally, women have been overlooked.
Because so our pool of men. Now we're picking from a pool with men and with women.
Make the country stronger.
We need to do another show on this because we started talking about this late. International Women's Day, again, got to be like the third one this year. No group needs representation at any governmental or electoral table. We need the best persons for the job, period.
Agreed.
If my cat is the best, give my job to the cat. Equality of opportunity is what we need, not equality of outcome.
You know what? Agreed. I talked about this. When I mentioned International Women's Day, I meant the one in March. But I talked about how, as a mom, you know, I go shopping, right? And the shirts for girls, all girls of the future, girls are smart, awesome, smart girls
rule.
And
what do the boys get?
And the boys get dinosaurs and Pokemon.
Yeah, they don't get much, yeah. Right? And so, I always had a little, you know.
Yeah, and so we need to, you know, we have done such a good job of empowering our girls and promoting our girls, but you can't do it to the expense of our boys.
Right,
and
to their exclusion.
To their exclusion. And right. So we need to make sure that it is an equal, everybody should have shirts that says, you were smart, you could be a scientist, STEM for boys, STEM for girls, so that we create an empowered generation that can lead this world, you know, forward. We just need to remember that the pool is now not just the boys' club. The pool is the boys and the girls.
Right.
The people club.
I'm looking at this, though, and I'm telling you, misogyny is alive and well in this country. Naughty, I don't agree with your guest. If women are too busy with children, then they ought not to get in politics. See, just stay to the job.
That's the mindset that you have to kind of...
But it's not a woman's job. It is a parent's job.
Ah.
That's what we have to try to,
It's kind of funny.
And that's holding us back.
When dads get off at 3 o'clock and don't take a meeting because they got to do the school run, it's all good.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing said.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this one kind of trips me out. Texter, I'm going to answer it. I'm going to let MJ and Senator Barnett let us answer. Naughty, the reason why we left a generation of men behind is because the single mothers who raised them. Well, why are they single mothers? What happened to the deadbeat daddies that didn't play a part in their life or got incarcerated or got killed? Chasing the scourge of drugs and gun violence and gang violence. Where are they? Where are they? And you all got to do better than this. Listen, to us real men, roll it down and stay married and have kids and hold down a job. That kind of weak sauce foolishness is insulting.
Yeah.
Sorry. You got floor.
Yeah, no, I think okay. I stand on what Naughty said.
Wow. Wow. That's where we're at.
I want to thank Senator. For spending,
we have a call.
Trying to get out of here, but they're not letting you go.
Talking heads.
Last call.
Talking heads.
Hello.
Hello.
Good afternoon, Naughty. How you doing?
Hey, what's going on, Sparky?
Right now. You know, I've been listening to these talk shows for so many years of my life, and I know it's time for you to go soon. You know, and everybody coming on these talk shows, from the host right down to the guest, everybody's trying to put the best foot forward and make themselves fine. Oh, they did good on that talk show. But do we really want to talk the truth? Does anybody really want to bring the cost of living down? Especially the people who own the establishments. Or they want to put the cost of them and their shareholders. Do we produce anything in the Bahamas? Even tomatoes? We import everything. And everything we import. From the shipper or the owner of something external. Everything. We even import our banking system, our tourism system. Everything that comes in the Bahamas, we import. Our cars, our electricity, everything we import. And we don't want to produce nothing. We don't even want to grow our own food. And then the doctors turn around and tell us the food we're eating is poisonous to us. because the chemicals they're putting in the food, we bring in here. But guess what? The shareholders of all the import companies, they don't want nothing to change because that's how they make their money. The super value owners and so forth, not super value, the supermarket owners, that's how they make their money. Our lawyers and doctors and accountants and politicians got shares in these companies. That's how they make their money. If you bring down their money, then they wouldn't make the money. They think they really care about us, whether we poor or not.
Sparky, so I think we dropped. Got dropped there, but yeah, good point when you were on.
Let me ask you this, Senator, because I mean that outlook sounds very pessimistic. What can we do to get Bahamians to, you know, view our future in a more optimistic way? Right now, it's tough. Everything is very expensive. The bills, but there's a part of me that wants to maintain that optimism for the country because we have children and you want them to have a beautiful, wonderful, country. The country that but 9 million people from around the world have to come through. Mm-hmm. We want them to have that country. So what do we need to do to have a more optimistic lookout, you think, for Bahamian people?
You know what? I think it starts with the government. I think we have to demonstrate that we are serious about leading this country and modernizing this country and actually making it better for Bahamians on the whole and not just for our friends, family, lovers, and et cetera. Hopefully the FNM, I'm putting it out there, the FNM will be elected to do a job. And we have to remember what we were elected to do and deliver that mandate for the people. Because in 92, in 97, we were full of optimism and hope because things got better, right? We had the government in the sunshine, and that's what got the second term. And we can get back to that. But you only get to that when you fulfill the promises or the mandate that you told the Bahamian people that you were going to do. And so that's how we bring that optimism back. They're not cynical for no reason. They're cynical because successive governments have failed to deliver what they have promised. And the optimism will return when there is a government, an FNM government, because we are the delivery team that delivers what we promise to the people.
There you go. Well, we appreciate you stopping by.
Thank you so much for having
me. We expect you to deliver on another appearance next month. Right here on Talking X.
It's summer. I can do it.
All right. But thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Senator. It was a pleasure speaking with you today.
It's been a great conversation. We're going to take a quick break on the flip side. Wednesday, June 12th edition of Talking X, and we'll be talking sports. Pearly will be in the building. MJ will be in the building. We'll be talking sports right up until the 6 o'clock break. So keep it right where you got it. Talking Heads, the June 12th, Wednesday, June 12th edition continues right after this.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast, providing more of what you need. More locations means more care closer to home. More specialists means more expertise. More research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
Is it a burger?
No. Is it pizza?
Come on, man, it's KFC. Whatever the crunch this is, it's delicious. New, the Kentucky Cheetah Sandwich. Crispy chicken topped with marinara sauce, mozzarella, and pepperoni. Order your pizza sandwich now at kfcnassau.com or at your favorite KFC restaurant today. It's KFC. It's finger-licking good.
John Shoes and Accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs. You will find what you're looking for among the growing collection of classic and trendy styles with new arrivals every week. John's covers the whole family and has great prices, helpful and friendly customer service. Your experience shopping with us will be time well spent. Shop with us online at www.johnshoes.com. John's also now carries small home appliances. So come on into John's, located on Rosetta Street in Palmdale and Carmichael Road West. John's, we put fashion at your feet.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Cavandre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
Happy Independence, Bahamas! Let's celebrate 50 Performance Center Independence print, dry fit polo or t-shirts, ribbons and pull bows in black, gold, and aquamarine. Today's special family package includes buy two adults and three children Independence polos or t-shirts and get 15% off. Outfit your staff for a special Independence dress of week or day with a different design. For more than 30 pieces of Janae's Independence polos or t-shirts, get up to 25% discount. Janae's Uniform Center Chesapeake Road Independence Selections. Choose your favorite and celebrate 50 plus one. Restrictions apply.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Talking Heads continues right now. We got the Wednesday, June 12th edition. We got Party zoomed in yet? Keep an eye out for the Pearl. He might be zooming in. Now, MJ, with a very, very somber opening, a little upset. Basketball, NBA, college basketball, the game of basketball, lost one of its brightest stars today in the form of Jerry West, better known as Zeke from Cabin Creek. What can I say? Born in West Virginia, came out and was one of the greatest shooters of all time. The logo for the NBA. If you think Los Angeles Lakers, you think of Jerry West as a player. You think of Jerry West as a general manager. He won one title as a player, lost eight to the Celtics in the finals, and seven to the Celtics, one to the Knicks. He was kind of like LeBron before LeBron, but he was a better shooter. Great general manager, eight championships for the Lakers. And for me, he saw Kobe and the brilliance of Kobe long before anybody else did. And he had to make Kobe a Laker. And I will always love Jerry West for that. Yeah, I can love him for the titles, but I will always love him for making Kobe Bryant a Laker and keeping Kobe Bryant a Laker. And those brilliant minds and players and contributors and fans of the game and fans of young players and young general managers. Yeah. If you look at his character on Winning Time, which was a documentary on the Lakers on HBO.
Right, a show, scripted.
Scripted. Right. That was the early Jerry West. He got a lot more mellower, a lot more humbler, a lot nicer as he got older. Imparted a lot of knowledge on young coaches and GMs and players. And the game of basketball is going to miss him because he was just a generally great eye for talent. He knew talent when he saw it a mile away.
And he was so talented, right?
Hell of a player. Greatest
job. I don't know if I saw this on Winning Time or if I read it somewhere. Did he win the MVP on a losing?
The Lakers lost to the Celtics in the finals, and he won the finals MVP on a losing squad. Your brilliance.
Has that ever happened?
Maybe one other time.
Wow.
Okay.
I was shocked at that one.
Only time something like that happened was when the guy with the Chicago Cubs, the Cubs finished last in that division, but he was MVP for the major leagues.
Wow.
Ryan Sandberg?
No, Dawson, I think. Right fielder. Dawson?
Hog Dawson. Andre Dawson.
Yeah. That was the only time that ever happened.
That is phenomenal.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we got Pearly chimed in.
I'm here. I'm right here.
Hey, Pearly.
So, yeah, Pearly.
What's up, MJ? How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you.
Somber day today in Lakeland, man.
Yeah.
A good day. When you sent it to me, I kind of pumped brakes because I saw it and I was like, no, not Jerry. And then I opened it.
Yeah.
And it was Jerry. And I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. But like I said, one of the biggest things that I love Jerry West for, and I will always love Jerry West for, yes, the legendary games that he played for the Lakers on the court, the eight titles he won as a GM, you know what I mean? But yeah. In 1996, the Los Angeles Lakers trade Vlade Divac, Eldon Campbell, to the Charlotte Hornets. For who? Kobe Bean Bryant.
And, you know, he got a lot of flack for that.
Yeah, but look, listen, he had the last laugh with all of that. He and Kobe did have the last laugh, let's be honest.
But, you know, one person that benefited from his knowledge and was a great pupil of his, but a lot of Kupchak when he took over the job of the Lakers.
And right. There's another one, too. Jerry West was also very was a big influence on Pat Riley getting that job.
Yes.
And keeping Pat smart and sharp all those years as well, too.
Yes, yes. But they were teammates, weren't they? Or Pat Riley was a youngster.
I think Pat Riley did play on the Lakers 1 or 2 years with when Riley was on the Lakers and the Knicks.
Yes, yes.
And I think he won a title with the Knicks with Phil Jackson in 72 and then went on to play with the Lakers later on.
Yeah, I think so. You're correct.
All right, let's get to this phone call real quick. Talking Heads.
Yes, my brother, how are you?
Hey, what's going on, Prophet?
Yeah, man, it's been a while. Poorly, how you doing?
I'm right here, my brother. I'm right here. How you doing?
Yeah, man, it's a sad. It's really sad in Lake City to hear the demise of the great Jerry West. I mean, the Lakers in the 80s, he was instrumental in that too, eh?
Yeah, man, how you mean? He was the GM that got all those pieces going.
We're talking about Showtime, eh?
Showtime. He got Magic there. He drafted Magic. He made the trade for Kareem.
He got Worthy.
He got Worthy in the draft for sure. Traded up for Big Game James. He had great players that he found off like the second round picks, like Mike McGee, that was a great scorer off the Laker bench for years. He made the trade, Norm Nixon, for a young guard coming out by the name of Byron Scott from Arizona State, and we know the legend that Byron Scott was in Lakerland in those 80s. So, yeah, he did a lot of things, and then he continued it with the Shaq and Kobe era. You cannot say that Jerry West didn't reinvent himself, reinvent the Lakers, and win on every opportunity he had.
Yeah. Where is the three-point specialist, Mike? You don't hear much about him.
He just celebrated a birthday in L.A., I think maybe last week or week before last.
Yeah, he did coach the Sparks for a minute, but I don't know what happened after that.
Yeah, well, the worst pick we ever had, Samson, like, we can never revive ourselves. It looked like King James, we can't get him to leave. I don't know why.
Prophet, we need to have a prayer vigil. Let's form a prayer vigil and let's make it happen, man.
Man, he need to get out so I could come back home. He just needs to go in the sea of forgetfulness because he could never be the great Kobe Bryant or the great Magic Johnson or the great Kareem. He could never be. Now Jerry gone. We need to get him out of there too. Man, now let me ask tonight. What's going on tonight with Dallas? You think this doggone European boy from Europe? Look like he mean business on Boston. What's going on with Dallas tonight?
Just rebound. Dallas has played well at home all throughout the series. Jason Kidd is a good coach when it comes to making adjustments. I agree with Purdy that Kyrie's not going to have three bad games. I think Dallas rights the ship tonight at home for sure, and they win two in Dallas, and it goes back to Boston 2-2.
But that European guy, what's his name, that tall man, ain't no one can stop him. What's his name?
He's out tonight.
Huh?
He's out.
Porzingis.
Well, yeah, I'll hang up and listen to you. I'll listen to your expertise. You know? Naughty is good. It's always a pleasure, brother.
You too, my brother. Be safe, eh?
Okay.
All right. Now, a couple of things. Let me just get to this, Pearly. So, we got a text. And then once I deal with that text, we'll get to our picks. And then we'll take the break because we got Colin Coward taking us home today with a great tribute to Jerry West. So I don't want people to miss that. I think that's going to be nice to listen to.
Yeah.
All right, Texter. Since we're in sports now, you know I'm going to light you up for this text, right? I don't want you to take it personal, but you're going to get lit up for this foolishness. And Purdy may go ahead and light you up too. Naughty, today is definitely a somber day. I hope that the dead Lakers can channel Jerry West and Kobe to win a championship or even make it to the playoffs. Texter, it's way too soon, Texter. Way too soon, Texter. Let me tell you a little something about comedy and jokes. You leave it for 48 to 72 hours before you touch it. What I do hope is that Jerry West and Kobe channel their energy to put you in one of these big crater potholes and break up your piston, your gearbox, your rim, your frame, and yeah, you're stuck there for a little while. But anyway. Have a great one, Texter. Text me tomorrow. That was too soon. Good luck getting out that pothole.
I can leave that one right there. No, I just say ditto.
Good God. But what I do tell you, Texter, hit me back. Let me give you two tickets to Joker's Wild so I could do you how I really need to do you for Kobe and for Jerry West, man.
Texter, don't take him up on that. Don't take him up on that.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah, let that one slide.
I know.
All right, Pearly, we got it tonight because we got to do this and then get to the break, obviously, in short order. Couple of games in the WNBA. Well, one game in the WNBA tonight, I believe. There was three last night, and my parlay came in. All three came in. Cha-ching. Hit them and split them. That's what I did.
Good man.
I went one with the money line, two with the points, and covered it.
That's good. That's good, man. That's excellent.
So tonight
is a tough game for my girlfriend. They got Connecticut Sun at the Sky, but for some reason, I believe Angel can get off on them tonight.
Okay,
I'll take the Sky and the money line.
Just so you know, fantasy sports girlfriend. Just so you know.
Yeah, I could tell. I've known for a while. I've known.
All right,
he represents its angel love very well.
Yeah.
All right, so in the WNBA tonight, you got the Connecticut Sun and the Chicago Sky. Listen.
I like the Sky.
I like the Sky with the 7.5 points. The Sun is coming off a loss to the Liberty. And listen, the Sky have been in all the games. They're chippy. They play tough, and they're in all the games. I'll take it with the 7.5 points at home.
Yeah, me too.
Indiana Fever +2 over the Atlanta Dream. Listen, the Atlanta Dream plays to the level of that competition, but I think the Dream get it done tonight and they win by 2 over the Fever.
I agree.
And then you got, that's tomorrow night, actually. That's tomorrow night.
Yeah, that's tomorrow night.
Yeah. Right, it's only the one game tonight. Then over in the NBA, the Celtics, listen, now the Mavericks are a 3-point favorite at home.
Mm.
That should be telling you folks something.
Mm-hmm.
That Vegas, the demand is leaning with the naughty one saying, Dallas wins at home. They're proving it in these playoffs. Dallas wins at home.
I'll take the points. I'll take Dallas and the points tonight.
I think Dallas wins by 3. I think they win by more than 3. I will take that 3 in a heartbeat, buddy.
Yep.
All right.
And you know what? I'll take your Yankees big again over the Royals.
Yeah, they but the Royals won last night, right?
I thought you guys were leading. Last time I looked, I paid attention. That beat me.
I did fall asleep. Sorry about that.
I think Bueller needs a really good game, and I think he'll get that tonight. The Dodgers against the Rangers. I think the Dodgers take this one again tonight too.
Perry, we got to do this one quick. MJ, we got to do this one real quick. Texas chimes in. Naughty, how good was Randy Moss? Randy Moss was one of the greatest of all time. I would place him top 5 of all time. If he had a ring, I'd probably put him top 2 or top 3. But he was a bad, bad, bad man. He was a bad dude.
I mean, his last name is a verb in football. You know, if they say you got Moss, you understand exactly what that is. That should tell you how good he was.
He made some cornerbacks look bad. He made some cornerbacks look small. They were small. I mean, he's tall, but he made them look, ooh.
Yeah, exactly.
Randy Moss was up there. I'd give him definitely a top 10. I probably could argue better top 5, but then, yeah.
All right, Pearly, we got to get to the break. Tomorrow is all you, man, so enjoy. And MJ and I will be back in on Friday. Colin Coward taking us home today. You got guests tomorrow?
They were iffy today. I have a guest schedule. I'll confirm them in the first thing in the morning, and I'll let...
It'll be another hot episode with the Pearl on Thursday. No need to worry.
It'll be good.
All right, man. Appreciate you. We'll do it again. MJ,
have a good one.
Always a pleasure to have you here, man. We'll do it again on Friday.
Thanks. It was a pleasure to be here. Thanks.
All right, Mr. Producer.
You too.
Quick break. Flip side of the break. Colin Coward taking us home. Be good, Bahamas. If you can't be good at it. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Talking Heads.
Ciao.
Are you tired of the hustle and bustle of city life, yearning for a relaxing getaway without the headaches of international travel? Well, we've got just the thing for you. Escape to paradise without leaving home with our limited time to fly free offer for Bahamas residents. Whether you're craving adventure, seeking to reconnect with your roots, or simply yearning to unwind in secluded shores, the Family Islands has something for everyone. But you better act fast, because this incredible 2 fly free offer is only available until June 30th. Don't let this opportunity slip away. So why wait? Book your trip today. Escape the ordinary, discover the extraordinary, and experience the magic of the Family Islands. Visit BahamasResidence.com for more ultimate island getaway today. Whoa, my islands.
Come true, Flavored Island Games. We're paying more out to you. Don't mind the noise.
toys in the market, you get cash in your pocket.
Cause Island Games is Boise, and Boise is tradition.
So when you play
Island Games,
we put in Bahamian's voice, guaranteed to pay.
Island Games.
We like them other jokers, we've been here from the start, from the bike to computer.
Island Games,
we can make your dreams come true.
We playing with Island Games.
Naughty Johnny's Restaurant can only be described as the experience. You want to recreate again and again and again. Their motto is simple food done well. You're welcome into their home at Naughty Johnny's, where you can dine on crack conch fritters, and other Bahamian favorites. There's also an international flair that's guaranteed to offer something for everyone. Enjoy a good meal and listen to live band on their patio Friday and Saturday nights, or brunch on Saturday and Sunday, only at Naughty Johnny's Restaurant in the Old Town Plaza, Old Fort. They're open 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. Friday, 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. on Sunday. Naughty Johnny's, well worth the trip.
Ignite your leadership capabilities, expand your vision, and chart the path to a bright future at the CIBC Caribbean Ignite Leadership Conference, 27th of June at Bahamar, from 9 a.m. to 12 noon. Join Sarah Kunst, a venerated entrepreneur who has worked at Apple and Red Bull. Sarah is a Forbes 30 Under 30 Future Innovator and has been honored by the Wall Street Journal. Also hear about the leadership journey of Anthony Ferguson and Crystal Rutherford Ferguson. This event is designed for senior business executives and seasoned entrepreneurs. Register at CIBCFCIB.com/ignite to secure. Only successful registrants will be acknowledged. Join us for the Ignite Leadership Conference, June 27th at Bahamar.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
He was so many things. He was an all-time great player who became the logo. You don't just make any player the logo. No other player in our major sports had ever been considered to be the logo. He was a generationally unique 80s, 90s, 2000s. He was a respected basketball voice. He was the architect of three dynasties. And he was a relentless personality. You've seen that in the documentary. You've read that in books. Because he understood what greatness looked like, and he was not willing to sacrifice anything to get there. He also had a well-documented, tough, bordering on brutal childhood. And it always felt like along the way he was a bit tortured. Even the way the Lakers relationship ended wasn't perfect. Jerry was almost singular in his greatness. He was arguably the first great guard in the NBA, Mr. Clutch. He very quickly established himself as almost a Svengali, a guru of basketball talent. Yes, you know about Shaq and Kobe, and you know about Kareem and Magic, but do you realize how big he was in the Warriors dynasty as he aged? I always say you can tell a lot about a man when he goes past perhaps his prime years. You look at him, you listen to him. Has he been willing to acknowledge issues, grow, evolve? That was Jerry West. He was the one that told them, move off Monte Ellis, embrace Steph Curry, and go get Andrew Bogut. You need size. He was the one that told them, I will resign if you move off Klay Thompson for Kevin Love. And at the time, Kevin Love was the better player. He was the one that whispered in KD's ear, you'll get better shots there than you do in Oklahoma City. The architect of three dynasties, and arguably outside of the Bulls, the three best dynasties ever. He knew basketball. He loved basketball. He was great at basketball. The best way I could describe Jerry West as a guard and as an executive, he didn't miss much. Here's Jerry on our show years ago as the greatest executive talking about probably the greatest player, Michael Jordan.
If you watched him go anywhere, he was like the Pied Piper. You could not keep people away from him. He just had that incredible charisma. But when he played, every night he played, he was not going to take a night off. I love Michael Jordan. I absolutely love Michael Jordan. He's the best athlete I've ever seen in basketball. People are going to make comparisons, but I wonder today, with the rules having changed today, you can't hand check, you can't touch anyone, you can walk all over the place, you can carry the basketball all over the place. And this is the evolution of the game. If he could have added that to his game, my goodness, what would we see today?
it tells you a lot about Jerry West, is that the greatest current players, his contemporaries, his peers, all generations, when Jerry walked into a room, they stopped talking and they listened. It was sometimes combative with the Lakers. There's a lot of egos, a lot of brain power, a lot of greatness in Los Angeles. And it didn't end well with the Lakers. But Jerry has to be seen as almost singularly a unique all-time player and executive. Rest in peace to Mr. Clutch, the logo. All right, things a bit bumpy in New York with the Jets. So Aaron Rodgers didn't show up for day one of minicamp. Now, through the years, I've said, and I believe this, there's too much football practice. Sean McVay came to the Rams with a different sensibility and said, let's lighten up practice and let's not play any of our starters in the preseason. People scoffed, rolled their eyes. They won't be ready for the opener. They started the year 8-0. It doesn't bother me that much that Aaron Rodgers missed a day of minicamp. Although Diana Russini says, reporter, he now will miss the entire camp. Okay, so why was it so clunky when his head coach, Robert Saleh, went to the podium a couple of days ago to talk about his absence on day one? He's missing the entire camp. Is it jury duty? Is he at a sales conference? Coachella still going on? Events don't last a week, so that's real fuzzy. And also, why did Robert Saleh have to say verbally, he could have kept it to himself, that it was an unexcused absence? My guess is the power dynamic with Aaron Rodgers has always been a little off. So Saleh wants to make it clear he runs the team and not Aaron. But it felt a little passive-aggressive and like the scolding teacher. But this is what happens when you give a prickly, rich, set in his ways, passive-aggressive quarterback coming to save the franchise, and you put him with a defensive coach on the hot seat with an 11-23 record before Aaron got there. What you get is a weird power dynamic. Even as great as Brady was, Belichick ran the show, and Tom knew it. Even as great as Mahomes is, Andy Reid runs the show, moves off of Tyreek Hill, and Mahomes knows it. I could argue the rudderless ship known as the New York Jets needs stronger management, not less intensity and less power and less leverage. So Saleh really has his hands tied, but they've been tied from day one. From the very outset, the power dynamic here has been off. It's why I didn't buy them last year. I think they'll be good this year, but I don't consider them a Super Bowl team. Too much of a perpetual, weird, odd mess. An uneven franchise that threw a Hail Mary to get Aaron, let him pick the OC, who wouldn't have gotten a job as an OC anywhere else in the league, had him bring in Randall Cobb and Alan Lazard, overpaying for Lazard. Cobb is no longer really a roster player, though he had a nice career. It's all about the power dynamic. Saleh, when Aaron landed, was an unproven, losing record, defensive coach who had no momentum, with an impulsive owner, a new GM. You thought this was going to work? Aaron in Green Bay never liked it that he didn't have as much control as he felt he deserved. Brady never got caught up in that. He didn't care. He just wanted to win trophies. So part of Aaron's personality has always been, I want to say, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. So none of this is a surprise. The quarterback, the head coach, the GM, it just feels odd. The power dynamic is off. You see this often in the NBA where the star runs through coaches. That's a basketball culture thing. It's not a football culture thing, except apparently in New York. But why BS? An event? I was told last night from a source I trust, Aaron's on vacation, and it's overseas. I'm also told You'll learn about where he's at tomorrow. Don't want to burn my source. I'm told you'll learn about it tomorrow. Maybe he is at an event. Can't believe there's something overseas that would take 7, 8, 9 days. Again, maybe they have a music festival. But the point is, don't be surprised by this. This is sort of what you would expect. Impulsive owner, new GM, coach with a losing record, prickly older at times, arrogant, disconnected quarterback in New York City with a pretty relentless and inarguably massive press corps. This is what you get. Hi, everybody. It's me, Uncle Colin. Subscribe here to get the latest from the herd, including exclusive behind-the-scenes videos and more, wherever you may be, however you may be watching. Thanks again for making us part of your day.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.